Hi, this is Andrew.
And this is Amy, and in this episode, AADL talks to local family business owner David Vogel.
Jackie and Debbie talked to David about how the Vogels came to Ann Arbor, being a locksmith before anybody locked their doors, and his adventures working as the county's safecracker for the FBI.
Who are the Vogels?
The first Vogel that came to Ann Arbor was from Germany, but before that it was Poland. When Germany took over, everybody ran as fast as they could.
When would this have been? What time period are we talking about? 19th century?
It'd probably 1932, before the war.
Before the Second World War.
Right, yeah. And they knew it was coming.
Uh-huh.
And so when the Germans came in, the Vogel family lost the farm. They took it away from them.
So this would be a farm in Poland.
Right. Mm. Right.
Right.
So they lost the farm, and they immigrated. What they could do, they lost the farm, but they could rent it. They couldn't own it. It was some kind of thing like that. And I'm getting this information. I contacted a person in Germany, and through Bethlehem here. During the war, they took everything from them. They didn't have anything, no food, no clothing. And so they sent a letter to Bethlehem asking for clothing. And that's how I made contact in Germany, East Germany it was, of a person who still had, and I have in my possession, they call it, what was it called? Passport. And all Germans had to carry this passport. On this passport, it gave four generations back into Germany, so I could follow it real easy. And so we sent them clothes and everything. And then I got a hold of this letter, and so that's how I got a hold of the person in Germany. In West Germany. Now, they had the rest of the family in East Germany, which was illegal to go over, but they were able to go back and forth between the two. And I got this passport. So that's how the two boys, there was two boys in the family, and both of them came to America.
Mm-hmm.
There was one girl, and she stayed there.
And did they come directly to Ann Arbor?
I don't know where the second boy came from. I don't know. He came to America, but I don't know where.
So what was the name of the one that ended up here in Ann Arbor? What was
Gus Vogel.
Gus Vogel. Was that Gus Vogel Sr.?
Three of them in a row. And my dad said he hated the name called Junior. Everybody called him Junior. So he says, no way am I going to be, any of my kids are going to be called Gus Vogel. So that's the story behind that.
So Gus Sr. was the one who
came over. Right, right.
And why Ann Arbor? Did he ever tell you why in Ann Arbor?
Yeah, it was known Freedom. Freedom Township?
Yes.
Okay. Back there, they said they treated you right. There's no discrimination, and that's, he wanted to go to Freedom Township. Well, he ended up in Ann Arbor. So that's the story about that. Everybody wanted to come to Freedom Township mm-hmm. when they got off the boat.
Did he bring skills with him that he could use right away in Ann Arbor?
He was a mechanic, I guess you'd call him. He could fix anything. Anything mechanical he could fix. Okay, and then he started. I gotta get my notes up. He started as a laborer in mechanics in Ann Arbor. He lived down on Fountain. Mm-hmm. But he got cancer, and he only had one child, Gus Vogel. He died very young.
Gus Sr. died very young.
Right.
And when did he open the store? You said he
1913. That's the far. I've got a picture on my wall at the store of Gus Jr. in the back of the store.
Is that right?
Yeah. You could see before cars, they used to have a hitching post. Mm-hmm. And half my store was that area. And they built on in front. You can still, if you walk in my store, you can still see the front of the old building there. Back in the old days, they drove horses. Mm-hmm. And they tied it up. That's called a hitching. They'd tie up the horse there, and that's the hitching area where the usually a horse and a carriage, and they'd come in like that. And it was old wood in the front. Well, when they paved, then everybody built out in front. But you can see it. I got pictures of the old building in 1913 with Gus Jr. in there and the men working. But anyway, so there's only one boy.
Okay, can I ask, in 1913, what kind of business was Vogel?
Mechanical. Anything mechanical. Uh-huh. Now, I never saw my grandfather, okay? I'm taking it from what they told me. All right, they repaired anything mechanical. Guns, lawnmowers, umbrellas. They sharpened old rotary lawnmowers, skates, scissors, knives. Everybody shaved with a knife. Mm-hmm. They sharpened them, repaired them. That's what they did before the war. Anything mechanical they fixed mm-hmm. or tried to fix.
Okay, when did this start becoming locks and safes? Do you remember that?
Yeah. I'll give you, there's like a dividing line. When my dad took over, Gus Vogel III, he bought it from my grandmother, which was a widow, mm-hmm. just before the war. There was nothing in the store, absolutely nothing. He bought an empty store. He bought the name in the building. So that's what I heard, you know, because they needed everything for the war effort. Okay. He took over in 1913 and started filling the store in. And I was born in 1940, and I remember as a child helping him put together bikes. Bikes and sporting goods were the main thing in the business.
That is in the 40s?
No, 60s.
60s.
I'm 20 years old about that, a little younger, before I went into service. And, in fact, we had two stores.
Is that
right? I ran the second store up on Church Street, 611 Church. We had a second store there, but around 1960, things went downhill in Ann Arbor. Drugs came in town. Everybody was getting broken into, so everybody had to have a deadbolt. So bikes and locksmiths came together at the same time. We couldn't handle it. Mm-hmm. There was so much business in locks. Everybody had, before 1960, nobody locked their door. You know, it was a trustworthy community. You could leave your door wide open and nobody would bother it. But at that time, we had trouble, drugs come in town, so everybody had to have locks on their doors. And when the students come back, there were a lot of bikes had to be put together and sold as new. and all the locks had to be changed because of the students coming in town. And it just didn't, we just got snowballed. So we decided to get out of the bikes. That's when, so our main business was locksmith work, change locks, put in deadbolts and stuff. And we gradually got out of sporting goods, bikes, and everything else. So that's how we narrowed it down. The second store, when I went into service, I was drafted. They just closed down the second store. And that's where we ended up, just the one store downtown.
Mm-hmm. To back up a little bit, when the family first came to Ann Arbor, where did they live?
And Fountain.
On Fountain Street?
Right.
Did they stay at Fountain Street or?
Yeah. Well, I can give you dates if you want.
Sure. So was that walking distance for you to work? You could walk to work, or your grandfather?
Yeah, Fountain's just down the hill, five blocks. Which back in those days was nothing.
That's why I asked.
Everybody walked.
Well, he hoofed it here, and I said, you know, can I get you a parking? He said, no, I hoofed it. And I said, well, that's the old Ann Arbor way.
Right, right.
When you had the bikes, when you were doing the bikes, did you get a lot of the university students come looking for bikes?
They all came at once. The beginning of class, that was the hard part. You know, when they first come,
mm-hmm.
you know, and start, they all would get a bike instead of a car because there was no parking.
Mm-hmm.
And we were just swamped. We had to turn down work. We just couldn't handle it. And we had two other people, I don't remember the names, that's all they did is put bikes together. That's how busy we were. And then when locks came in and they started wanting locks on the doors and their keys changed, see, all the students come in, they got to have new keys, they have to have a lock on the door and all that. It was just a total disaster. We couldn't.
What's your favorite lock company?
Probably Schlage.
Is that right?
Yeah. That's the nowadays the companies do not care who sells their locks. It's just volume. Mm-hmm. So there is no in other words, they kind of cut out, they tried to cut out the locksmith and the wholesaler. In other words, you buy direct. And to do that, you have to do X amount of dollars. And nobody could do it alone. You know, you take five or six. We tried to get around that by five or six locksmiths got together and we bought together
mm-hmm.
to meet this. But pretty soon they just said no and. So that kind of cut us out. There is no company, I don't know what you want to call it. It's just the lowest price. You can buy it. But Schlage is a very old company, and it's in a California company. And I went to their factory and saw how locks made, and it was very interesting. But anyway.
Did your dad ever talk about whether the business was affected by World War II, if you had to do things differently or it was harder to get?
You couldn't get anything. My dad bought the business from my grandmother, who's a widow. It had two children. And I'll give you a date. She died. She was in the hospital for 10 years.
Your grandmother?
My grandmother, okay. And so she ran out of money. And so my dad bought her share, bought the business, and the name from my grandmother. And Marion Cope was the daughter. So there's just two children. My dad and Marion. So he bought everything from them so they could pay my grandmother's hospital thing. Mm-hmm. That's when my dad got the store, got the business, and it was nothing there. Everything was, during the war, you couldn't buy anything. We had even had a hard time buying locks. There was just no metal around. So he bought an empty store and the name. That's what I remember.
How'd he stay in business?
Repairing. In other words, you got something, you got it in your hand, I can fix it. Mm-hmm. That's how he stayed in business. So that was the main thing. That's why they were so busy. You couldn't buy anything new. You had to fix what you had. I couldn't remember the time they put in on razors. You know, people, mm-hmm. old razors, how they shave. They would fix those dumb things, sharpen them and fix them. Old scissors, I can't remember. Umbrellas, they'd fix those strands. They put new canvas on top. Anything you want fixed, they'll fix it. That's what it's mechanical. That's anything mechanical, they'll fix it.
Service first.
Right.
So it was more service than goods.
Right, right.
Now, can I ask about the building you've been? You've been in the same building ever since the
From
beginning,
day one,
right?
1913.
Do you own the building?
Yes.
Do they own the building?
Yes, I own it.
Now, was it always just the storefront and people live on top, or?
Nobody's ever lived on top.
Nobody?
It's just storage on top.
All right.
The old building, say 1913, if you go down the alley there, you'll see a built on front. Okay, the old building was from, I'd say 40 yards. Was not there from the old building. It was beyond back. Mm-hmm. I go all the way back to the Schwaben, you know, that's my property line, back. And what they did is they built on front. I can't tell you the date that they built on in front. It's probably after the war. I can't tell you offhand when they built on the front. But I know my dad built on the front, so he's the one that. But before that, it was just a very small area of a building. In fact, you can see, if you come in my store, I got pictures when electricity first came in. You know Knob and Tube? You ever heard of that? That's what they did in the old days when they first put electricity in your building. They drilled through the wood and they put a piece of plaster, it's Knob and Tube, one positive, one negative. And then they ran on each side of the 2x4, or actually it was a 4x6 in my store, all the way back to one on each side. Now everything is together, but that's the way they did it. Mm-hmm. And I took out all that knob and tube and put in grounded wire. That's how old that building was. Nobody ever did anything to it. So if you go in the store, you can still see the old motor, and everything was driven by belts. I don't know if you know what a belt is. A motor drove a belt, and you put it here, and you can put it. Mm-hmm. You can still see that in the back of my store. Everything was driven on by belts. They had lathes. They had machine. They had a machine that sharpened those old rotary lawnmowers. It set the lawnmower down and sharpen it. And they had an attachment that would sharpen skates. And then we had a man that sharpened. All he did is sharpen razor blades, scissors, skates. That's all he did all day long. So anything that needed sharpening, we'd sharpen.
Now, do you have a list of old prices from those days? Like, how much would someone charge for sharpening a razor blade? Or a lawnmower. Do you have old prices that your dad might have been charging?
I don't. Well, I cleaned house and I threw all that out.
But you still have some of the equipment, though, right?
Right.
So it's in the back room. That would have been really fun to see those and
you can go back. It's still there. It's all there. Driven by one big motor, and then everything is by belts, and that's all in the back. I still got them. I said I wasn't going to tear them down, so
No. You got a treasure there.
You can see everything there, how it was done, and prices. I think I had prices, but I don't know if Rob kept them or not. I found a lot of old stuff. In fact, I found back in the old days, they tracked your deed back to when Rob's got, I don't know if he still kept it, but he had a record of the Vogels, four generations, and then all the way back to the first person that came to Washtenaw County. They did that when we got the title for the store. So, you know, he could show you that, but
when you moved into the safe business, to the safe and lock business,
yeah.
Did you start having more interaction with the Ann Arbor Police Department?
Yeah, I had more reaction with the FBI than the. I had to go on all the drug raids. So they come to a safe, I had to open it up for them.
Oh, that must have been fun.
Yeah, and then I did, in my younger days, I did all the work for the military. Like if a scientist at the university died and he had a safe, I'm the one with, I had, in service, I had a classified clearance. So I could go in and open this safe for the government, because he had top secret documents on research and development. So I did that for the university. But, I didn't like doing that, but whenever it's a drug raid, I had to go in to either change the locks after they haul them away, or if they had a safe, I had to get in and get the documents out. But that lasted, I don't know. I did it for the whole county for a long time, for about 3 or 4 years. And then I finally said I didn't want it. I was the last guy on the line on the raid, but I still didn't like the mm-hmm. idea.
Now, does Rob do that now?
No. In fact, I don't know if he does that for the police department or not. I don't know. I've been out of the business for 7-8 years. My hands, I had trouble with my hands, and I couldn't handle the little parts of a lock, so I had to retire. So I didn't want to, but that's the way it was. I got, they're all cleared up now, but mm-hmm. the ends of my hands, it like shorted out, I guess it would be. It's like a psoriasis. The ends, the feeling went downhill, and I couldn't do the work with my hands. You know, and that's, if I can't use my hands, I'm all done. But
did the police ever bring you in to try and figure out how a safe got broken into? The other end of it. This is safe. Maybe they broke into it at a business.
Not really. I know they, for Schlander, I don't know if he told you, he got broken into. He couldn't figure out how they got in, if they got a key or not. I figured out that they made a key to his locks, and I showed him how it was done, but they didn't know how to do it.
Now, can you tell us how the thief did it?
It's called impressioning.
So somebody must have had one of their keys then, right? No?
No, you can start. I can make a key to your door without having your key.
Good, I'm going to call you.
It's called impressioning. You move a key up and down, and it leaves real little tiny marks. saying, this is not right, and you keep filing down, and you can actually make a key without having one. And that I was taught that.
So someone had to stand by their lock, by their right. doors, and just jiggle until they
right.
got the...
Until they got the right key. And I showed him, I took the inside of the lock out, and I showed him, when you try to do that, you stick the key in, and you pinch. Locks are made out of pins, five pins. Okay, and when you trap it, you try to turn it, and you trap the pin. I gave the library here what a lock is. I think I gave it to you, anyways, I gave somebody how a lock is made. Okay, and what you do is these pins, if you trap it and then wiggle the key, it leaves a little tiny mark, and it also leaves a mark on the pin. So when I took his lock apart, I showed a pin where it's been wiggled on, and that's how they made a key. He's now got a key that you can't be duplicated. But that's how they did it. This was, 20 years ago or something. He got broken into, and nobody knew. His safe broke 2 days ago, three days ago.
Is that right?
Yeah. Guy went to dial, and the dial on the safe came off in his hand. So I tried a couple
of years. So they still call you now to fix those?
Well, I'm old friends, Chuck.
Right.
You know, all I got to do is go in his back door. I'm 20 feet from his back door. We're good friends. So anyway, they had to. I tried to manipulate his safe. And I couldn't do it. I lost my touch. But I used to just be able to feel.
So what did they have to do, drill it out?
They had to call another man and drill it out, yeah. Took him 2 days to get in it.
So what we see in the movies sometimes with them doing that little thing with
the
hands, that really was true.
That really was true, right, yeah.
People could have a knack for being
right.
able to.
I could do that. That's why I had my clearance. I could do any house, any safe, any time.
Well, good thing you're a good guy.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't get far. Like I said, I had clearance, and they've got my fingerprints and from one end of the country to the other. So, and that's an advantage because so a safe company comes out with a new safe. They send me the material. How to anybody in Washtenaw County, they used to call me a safe company. It says, I sold this guy a new safe. It's not working right. They'd call me, and I'd go fix it. So they sent me all the material on new safes.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you sell safes?
Yeah. So.
Who started the puzzles in the window?
That's Rob's doing. I think Jeff, the other person in the store, he's in the store. I think he did it.
How long ago was that? Because I have to do this. I'm hooked on those.
I don't know, three years, I think, 3 or 4 years.
Do people come in and ask about them
or ask if there's
a prize?
They get stumped on it, and they'll come in and they'll tell them they can't figure it out.
Oh, you will tell?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I just get mad.
Yeah. No, in fact, I think he had the, if I remember right, you can go online and you can get it too. I'm not sure that. I haven't been going in the store lately, but I think you can go online and get it, or you just walk in the store and they'll tell you the answer. But they've been doing it for 3 or 4 years. That really went over big. It was just a fun thing to do.
Absolutely.
You know, it's an eye catcher.
Yeah.
I guess.
Now, tell me about Rob. How is he related to you?
He's my brother's boy.
All right. Now, your brother choose not to go into the business? Was he in the business,
no.
your brother? No.
He did work, but he was mostly, he was a fire officer. He worked for the fire department his mm-hmm. whole life. And they're on one and off two. So on the 2 days he was off, he would work in the store, or before he had a hair salon in Ipsy. So when things got too busy, he would come work for my dad and I.
But, now, why did you choose to go into business?
Why did I? I don't know. I mean, before I was drafted, I worked down in Cushing, Malloy. This is before I was drafted, 2 years, as a lithograph printer. I printed books. And when I was drafted, I went into service. And as soon as they found out I did that, that's what I did in service. I made books.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got over to Fort Sill, Oklahoma, artillery missile. And then I had to have clearance because I was making the books for these missiles. So I had to have clearance. That's how I got my secret clearance.
And so then
that's all I did. I did have orders to go to Vietnam, but I made a few friends and got them canceled.
So from then you move into
from
safes?
Then, yeah, from then I went, as soon as I got out of service, I started working for my dad. That's, you know, it was right there. He was so busy, he didn't mm-hmm. know if he's coming or going. And so I worked for him at the main store for probably 6 months a year. And then I started the second store up on campus. And that lasted, I think, 2-3 years. And like I said, we couldn't handle it. So mm-hmm. we closed the second store and started getting out of all kinds of things. That's when things really started changing.
When did Rob come into the business?
When I got sick. My hands gave out. Then I sold him. I sold him the business and willed him everything else. So it's all
going
to go to him.
Is he your only nephew?
Right. I never married.
Uh-huh. So
he's not my only nephew. He's got a sister.
Okay. But does she work in the business
no,
too?
No. 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 Rob's the only one.
Now, how did Rob get interested in the business?
He worked for me for a while. Also, on this one day off, you know, he's up, works 1 and 2 days off. He's
got nothing. So he's the fireman.
Right. Right.
All right.
So he's got 2 days, doesn't do anything. He started working for me and that. Mm-hmm. You know, you're just starting out. You got 2 kids to feed and all kinds of bills. You work for wherever you find the work.
So he's not a fireman still, is he?
Yes.
Is he? Oh.
He's second one down in the fire department.
Is that right?
Right. That's where he is today. That's why he couldn't be here.
So do you see the next generation of Vogels getting into the business?
I don't know. You have to ask him.
How old are they?
I think one is, the daughter is 13, and the son is maybe 10, something.
Does he work? Do they come and work in the store?
No. Not yet, but I expect that they'll get interested. Right now, they're just going to school.
Very good.
What kind of changes do you see coming for the business, for Rob? What's going to happen to Vogels?
Well, it's a dying business, for one. The only part that's going to survive is service, the service area, not the selling. That's why you don't see much locks and anything, because we can't compete with the big discount places. So service is the only thing, and probably electronics. We're all going to electronics. So that leaves keys out. The cars are doing that now. In other words, you don't carry a key anymore. You just carry like a garage door opener, click it, and your car unlocks the doors and starts up. So I think the locks would be the same way. In other words, you're just going to your remote, unlock your door at the house, turn the lights on, the garage door goes open, and you drive in.
Is so Rob learning about that?
It's getting real close to that right now. So, but that's why there used to be a locksmith in each town, mm-hmm. and I'm the only one left in Washtenaw County. That's how consolidating it is.
So you must serve a much larger area now.
I won't go to Ipsy. I don't want to get shot.
But you serve the whole county. I mean, there's still plenty of people with all kinds of locksmith issues.
I'll go the other way.
How far do you go the other way? Jackson?
No.
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 Chelsea?
Washtenaw County. I'll go to Chelsea. I got the hospitals there and all the mm-hmm. commercial places out there. Mostly Washtenaw County.
Do you ever get someone who comes in and brings something to you and says, what is it, and can you do something with it? An old piece of equipment or that they're trying to figure out what it is, and they've heard through word
all
of mouth
the time.
That.
In other words, a lot of people have these little safes, forget the common safes. We get that all the time. I used to get, when I was working, people for 20 years, they never forget. They want a pair of scissors sharpened. I haven't sharpened scissors in 40 years. Well, they still come in the store wanted scissors sharpened or razor sharpened or something fixed, and they just don't do that anymore. But not too much. And with old locks, we get people come in with old bit key locks. You know, back in the old days, they called old skeleton key. Okay, mm-hmm. that's called a bit key. And those old locks, I come in, want those fixed all the time. And if it's not broken, but just broken springs or something, I'll do that. But all the time.
So you get to see a little bit of Washtenaw history.
Oh, yeah,
march
from
through
top
the
to bottom, yeah.
We were just reading another article about all the heritage bishops, like Ennis and Son. All of you congregate in the same street, and all of you seem to stay for a long time. Well, you know, Hurdle Brothers gone now, and Schlenker's. But was that the main street that produced all the services?
Yeah, that was the main part of town. In other words, Main Street is Main Street. That's the main street. It started moving up to State Street, and the university expanded. So that's college. That's why the old businesses stayed down mm-hmm. on Main Street, just off of Main Street. And that side of town, you know, that's the German side of town. So you got Division and everything. They kind of stayed together.
Division separate the German community and the English
and the
community.
English and the university is up that way.
And how far does this spread? Like you said, you went all the way to Fountain, right?
Pardon?
You lived on Fountain Street, so
the first Vogel lived on Fountain. The second Vogel lived on Crest.
All right.
I live on, out by Pioneer Highway. I live on Sanford. So they
work
gradually going out. You're right. So, I was brought up on Crest and lived in the same house as my grandmother did. And then when, I think 1950, my dad bought a house out in Sanford. I was about 15 or so. I remember moving in, but that's about it. But yeah, let's see, I wasn't 60, about 1958, I think it was, around in there, we build a house in Airy Subdivision, which is just off of Stadium, between Stadium and Saddle Church. Because I remember as a kid, I loved to hunt. I used to take my gun and walk across Saddle Church and go hunting.
Now, why did they move out? Is that an...
Who moved out?
Your dad moved further out. I mean, right now, I mean, the old west side is really desirable for...
Well, he got his own house. See, we lived on Crest. We lived...
With your grandmother.
With my grandmother. And when she got sick, they sold that house.
Mm-hmm.
And so my dad, in the meantime, my dad bought this new house. That's why he just bought his own house is all it was.
Did you ever go to any of the Michigan football games or get involved?
All the time. Because
you would have been close to it out there.
Pardon?
You would have been close to...
Oh, yeah, sure. I knew Harry Cicada. We used to go to all the football games. And as a younger kid, we used to climb the fence to go in. So I was seeing all the games. But Harry Cicada worked for the university, and he always had tickets available for us to come in. So we went to a lot of them. I quit going when he died. So, but I still listen to him all the time. But when I was a kid, I was five blocks South Church and beyond before all those houses used to be just farmland. And I used to go hunting in there. In fact, I was one of the first people to shot a deer just across South Church Road.
Did they have hunting seasons back then? They still had hunting seasons back then.
Yeah,
you had to get permits.
Right, just right. Like you had to get a license. Okay. And that was farmland. You know, there was, if you take Greenview, I don't know if you're familiar with Greenview and South
mm-hmm.
Church.
Mm-hmm.
Ernie Schenck owned all that farm. That's another. His parents owned a pet shop, and he owned 80 acres, all that land there. We used to go hunting there. So that was when I was a kid, before I went in service. And I remember, you know, I'd grab my dog and gun and walk four blocks, and I was in the wilderness.
Yep. Ann Arbor is building up now.
Oh, it's going so bad. It's unbelievable.
And it was very sudden, too.
Pardon?
I remember going to Ann Arbor in the early 60s, and it still felt very rural once you left the downtown area.
Oh, yeah.
So
right.
The boom was very quick and sudden, I think.
Yeah.
Now, do you do much with the German population, the German community?
No.
No?
No, after I did the genealogy on all my lines and had it written down, I didn't do much of it anymore. But over in Ipsy, there's a church called Jesus Christ Latter-day Saints, and they are in genealogy, and they keep records of the family. That's part of their... I'd say it's part of their religion of the ancestry and recording the history of their family. So I did kind of, that's the only thing I ever did is visited that place and got records of around 1880. That's when the big 1840 to 1880 is when the big immigration of Michigan started. And they've got records back then. So I got that, all the records I could get my hands on and recorded the stuff.
How did you become interested in genealogy?
I took a course in college.
Mm-hmm.
My grandfather, on my mother's side, never knew his grandfather, okay, before he died. So I said, well, the records are all here in Ann Arbor. Ann Arbor's got one of the best records in the country. And I said, well, we can track down who they are. And he tell me about when he was a kid. We're talking World War One now. I get your picture. That he was very young, and his, how do I say it? His parents died young. He was out on his own at the age of 8. So he was in World War One, and he went up to Copper Harbor up in the UP, and he was an officer protecting the mines. And that's where he met his wife, and they married and came back here. And he was a Bell. And I traced his line from the records here in Ann Arbor all the way back to England. So everything was, you know, the old days before all genealogy became a big thing. You could mm-hmm. walk into the county courthouse, and I say, I want to look at the books, and they just hand them to me, and you could go through all the old books from day one, all the marriages, all the deaths, and so I had a chance to record everything before they charge you for walking in the door.
If you'd like to learn more about Vogel's Lock and Safe, visit their website at dev.vogelslock.com.
Music for this episode has been From the Score to the Back Page, composed and performed by Stephen Ball, available at aadl.org/backpage.
AADL Talks to David Vogel has been a production of the Ann Arbor District Library.